is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate upcoming, FanDuel and DraftKings. I'm your host, Sean Kane, and we are getting into a Friday slate breakdown. A monster going to be on a Friday night, 10-gamer. This would be the biggest slate of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Biggest slate of the week should be a Friday. A lot of fun. Some good games for fantasy purposes, really. Not like I'm looking at some of the games we want to watch. Like, Lakers-Bulls could be fun to just kind of watch on a league pass Friday night. I could see that. Houston-New Orleans will be fun. That'll be fun. There'll be fireworks there. But other than that, not a lot of real basketball to be worried about. Not like tonight where we're worried about, man, I mean, no news, nothing. We got, you know, late news about Tim Hardaway. Everything is just upside down. Hopefully you were light and careful going into it. I know I was. I was like, this, something bad is going to happen out here. I'm not taking too many risks. But we definitely are going to have a nice Friday slate to play with from a fantasy perspective. A lot to break down, a lot to go over. Of course, I'm going to go over Vegas off the top here, talk injuries, talk Vegas, get you up to speed on every situation in each game. We'll talk through the rotations as well, see what changes we're seeing in rotations as guys get, you know, added back into lineups and, you know, changing their roles and that kind of thing. Teams are headed towards the tank position and trade deadline and all that kind of stuff. So the situations change every single week, no doubt about it. And then we'll get into the player breakdown with my man Josh Fernandez. He'll come through. We'll talk through studs, our mid-tier players, and then, of course, the value guys that you're going to want in your lineup. But, hey, listen, before I jump into the Vegas breakdown here, I want to recommend LineupLogicDFS.com. We've got, obviously, we had our PGA content go up there, and hopefully you get a little PGA love going on. It's going to be, we got a nice little contest amongst the Lineup Logic crew. That's going to be fun. UFC content as well over there at the website. So good fight breakdown this weekend by my man Mike Alexander. Of course, expect that every weekend. Mike's been great breaking those down. A lot of fun watching it with a little money on the line every night on DraftKings, or excuse me, every Saturday night on DraftKings. So check out Lineup Logic DFS for that. And of course, if you're following Lineup Logic DFS on Twitter, which you should be, you're going to notice a lot more action over there because our man Sean Henderson at Whitey for Prez is his handle. But Sean is rocking it over there, helping us out, getting you all of the NBA takes that you need to know, news updates, everything like that. So go ahead and follow Lineup Logic DFS. It used to be just where you could find the website content because it was me running it. But now we got somebody who's really pushing news, getting you guys insight, that kind of thing, paying attention to what's going on a minute-to-minute basis. So follow Lineup Logic DFS. All right, let's not waste any more time. Let's go ahead and jump straight into the Vegas breakdown, figure out what's going on in these games. All right, so first things first, we're starting in Charlotte. 7 o'clock game down there with Atlanta on the road in Charlotte. 210 total here. Charlotte favored by 6 after they blew that late game to New Orleans. Very, very close at the end there. Kemba Walker had a free throw to get it within 1. Couldn't put it away. Anthony Davis did on the other end. This should be a sure thing for Charlotte. Atlanta pretty, pretty bad right now. Not really very playing extremely well themselves. But we're definitely going to want to attack some fantasy pieces in this one. No doubt about it. As far as injuries go, no serious injuries on either side of the ball that we have to necessarily be concerned about. So we're going to attack these teams as we normally have. And for me, that really only means the Charlotte side of things. They've been a little bit more consistent in their minutes of rotation and their fantasy output. So that's about it for me in this game. Not a particular interest. It's definitely a low total given a lot of some of the other numbers that you're seeing on the slate. So, yeah. Indiana at Cleveland. That's the next one up. 222 total. See what I mean? There's some really juicy numbers out of here. 222 total. Cleveland favored by 5 at home. And, of course, you know, this is – I feel comfortable saying this. for the Cavaliers' state of mind, I think this is a must-win game. I really do. I think it's a must-win game. And, of course, the biggest thing that we are the biggest piece of news that you are seeing out of Cleveland is that they're going to change the starting rotation. They're going to put Kevin Love back at the four. They're going to put Tristan Thompson back down at the five. And they're going to go with the original Cavs lineup, try to get a little bit of that mojo back, I guess, go back to one of the original working lineups. And then my guess is second unit will be the same that we were seeing, which was Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, with Jay Crowder at the four. And then I don't know who they're going to put at the five. You know, I don't know if they're going to maybe give a little bit of extra run to Tristan Thompson. You know, he was pretty light in his minutes. I mean, he was only playing 19 to 24 minutes. So maybe we'll see Tristan Thompson get all the way up to 30 minutes if they kind of straddle him in Love over the second unit, because they're not going to run out Zubac. Okay. Channing Frye's hurt. So you really do wonder what the second unit is going to look like as they go bigger on the front unit, first unit, what the second unit's going to look like. I think you're going to see more minutes for Tristan Thompson coming up here. So makes sense. We'll see what happens. You know, does it affect Kevin Love? Not so much. I mean, Tristan Thompson is going to be, yes, it does affect his rebounding numbers. It's going to affect his block numbers, but hopefully it's going to free him up to work on the outside, do a little bit more scoring. And that perhaps is what you're going to see. That's all I can say about that. The game with Indiana should be a good one. Obviously, LeBron in this situation, you want him at home in a primetime game where they, you know, kind of have their backs up against the wall. I think it's an interesting situation to target this game as a whole. 222 total competitive matchups previously. I like this one. Utah at Toronto. Toronto favored by 7 here. A 207 total in this one. You know, no injuries beyond what we have already gotten accustomed to. Nothing new on the Toronto side. They've been very lucky with the injury bug, knock on wood. And on the Utah side, Rodney Hood. You're still with the knee injury that's been nagging him for a while. It's being described as a contusion. On the Jazz side of things in this one, you know, Rudy Gobert kind of has upset the apple cart to some degree. It's hard to predict when Ricky Rubio is going to show up, but we're seeing the minutes consistent. Okay. The minutes are very consistent with Mitchell, with Rubio, with Joe Ingles. Favors now back into a secondary role behind Rudy Gobert at about 30. He's over 30 minutes. Derek Favors under 30 minutes. So do you want to go to Utah against a pretty solid defensive Toronto team, top four in overall defensive efficiency? Not particularly on the road. I can see myself I could see Donovan Mitchell just because of the price and the potential minute ceiling. He's been a fantasy point per minute and he's 7,100. So that part of it, yes. Some price plays on this team for sure. But that's about it. Not a ton that I love. Should be a good basketball game, though. Competitive. Houston at New Orleans. 229 total, baby. Houston favored by 3 on the road. Just stack it. Just stack it top to bottom. No questions asked. This is going to be the juiciest fantasy matchup that we have on the board. No serious injuries on either side that we need to be concerned of. We know who's going to play. It's going to be AD and Boogie against James Harden and Chris Paul all day. One of the best front courts in the league versus one of the best back courts in the league. Let's go. Just honestly, get as many pieces of this game as you can. It's going to be a blast. There's going to be so many points scored, and I do believe it's going to stay as close as Vegas thinks it's going to stay. These teams are just built so differently, and they you know, kind of complement each other from a fantasy production standpoint. So I'm all over it. I love it. We saw it earlier in the year, and actually New Orleans won, I believe, on the road in Houston, so this should be a good one. Brooklyn at Milwaukee. Milwaukee favored by 6 here. The return of Giannis Antetokounmpo, probable. Joe Prunty taking over. Very peppy. Very peppy in his press conference today. Prunty was cheerful. I think he's trying to keep the mood light. He knows that people, you know, took the Jason Kidd thing a little bit harder than they should, Giannis. So Prunty, you know, getting this team moving. Nice win against Phoenix. They get the day off. Giannis says he feels good. He feels like he's going to play. My guess is you're going to see a probable tag rather than a questionable tag for him tomorrow. On the Milwaukee side of things, you know, this team is concentrating their minutes. Eric Bledsoe, 32, Malcolm Brogdon, 34. Okay. Dellavedova's getting about 20 plus, but he's splitting them between the one and the two respectively. Tony Snell going right back, behind Chris Middleton, as well. So, good to see these guys getting, you know, getting kind of hopefully settling their minutes out. My guess is you're going to see Sterling Brown pushed back to the bench. I don't know how we miss this Sterling Brown mess, but he played a mess of minutes while Giannis was out. Sterling Brown did. He's probably not going to do as much. Now, the one thing I want to talk about here in approaching a Brooklyn game is, oh, Brooklyn, man, these guys are terrible. Well, they're actually not, okay? Average in defensive efficiency, they're tied with Memphis, tied with Denver. How would we think about this Milwaukee game if we were approaching it? You know, they were tied with Memphis and they were tied with Denver. And you go, well, what, Sean, but they were on a crazy pace. Yeah, okay, they're top five in pace. Last year they were like one in pace. They're top five in pace. Okay, so that's great. We love the pace, absolutely. We love the extra possessions. But the defense is actually better than we think, and it's not necessarily a rollover defense. Now, if you're looking for anything on the Brooklyn side, which I've never really been particularly interested in because the fantasy production has been relatively spread out and inconsistent, you know, we know where the minutes are. It's 28-30 for Dinwiddie. It's 28-30 for Damari Carroll. It's 28-30 for RHJ. Everybody else is getting 20. You know, that's kind of how they do it. Well, and 28-30 for Allen Crabb. And everybody else is getting 20. That's how they run those rotations. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. Who knows who's going to score in a game-to-game basis. But this Milwaukee team are also going to have to try to re-understand their identity under Prunty because he's going to have more pace. Will he stick with the we don't rebound on the defensive end, we just get back, or offensive end, we just get back on defense? I'm not sure if he is. Is he going to change the rotations? Is he going to have a different plan for Giannis? Is he going to ask guys to do things differently defensively? I have no idea. So we're going to have to watch Prunty. I don't think I'm targeting any Brooklyn players in this situation. There are some interesting Milwaukee pieces for sure, but they are priced up because everybody did so well with Giannis on the bench for those two games. Those guys are priced up. You're seeing an elevated price tag for Bledsoe, Middleton, Malcolm Brogdon, although Malcolm Brogdon is still not quite there, so he's interesting to me. The Clippers at the Grizzlies. This one does have some injury concerns in it. Juwan Evans ruled out for the Clippers here. We should see DeAndre, good to go. DeAndre should be good to go here. He played almost, he said minutes limit the other night, but wasn't a minutes limit at all. He played 31 minutes in that game, much to the dismay of all those who rostered Montrezl Harrell, which also killed the Blake value. He, you know, Blake scored, I think it was only 38. So, you know, Clippers are back to normal, more or less what we understand them to be before they were dealing with all his injuries. It's going to take a second to get everybody's prices adjusted. Remember, Lou put the team on his back a little bit, right? And then Blake had to put the team on his back. And you're still getting good minutes from guys like Tyrone Wallace and Lou Williams, Milos Teledosic, decent minutes as well. Austin Rivers is supposed to be back within the week, so we'll see. You know how this all sticks and the way it shakes out. In this game, particularly against Memphis, I don't have a lot of interest. You don't have a particularly strong backcourt. I could see Lou Williams, but he's priced up, like I mentioned. I could see Lou Williams in this situation, but with Blake and DeAndre, you have a slow-paced game, probably going to be a low total once we find out about Tyreek Evans. And then you have a situation in Memphis where they just haven't allowed any scoring to the front court. They just really haven't. Marcus Saul's been very effective in limiting scoring in the front court. So not a ton of interest in that game for me. Maybe some of the guard play, specifically Tyreek. If he goes, if he's healthy, I think he's interesting in this spot. Lakers versus the Bulls, 219 total here. Chicago favored by three. I love this game. I love this game. I love this game. You have two teams who have proven that they have pieces. They're feisty. They want to compete. They're both young. There's, you know, neither one is particularly good. They don't get wins, but they're but they're fun and they fight and they produce a lot of fantasy value because of it. Jordan Clarkson continues to impress. Three games over 30 minutes, three games with 38 or more fantasy points in a row with the absence of Lonzo, and Lonzo not expected to play Friday. I wouldn't be surprised at this point if they keep him out through the All-Star break just because it's been so long. Why rush him back? You're not fighting for anything. This kid's a franchise player. You want to be safe with him. You want him to be healthy. You have all the time in the world after the All-Star break. You know, go ahead. Let him stay on the bench. It's fine. We saw a pretty consistent rotation in the front court, which was nice. For the first time, we saw everybody, Randall, Kuzma, Nance, each get 26 minutes against Boston. That was actually reassuring. They each produced a little bit about a fantasy point per minute, maybe a little bit more. If they can get 26 minutes on the regular, which is asking a lot, because who knows with Walton, I think that it's a lot of upside to these guys against Chicago. Now, on the Chicago side of things, it's the same. I'm really, really interested in getting some of these Chicago guys into my lineup. Jerry and Grant, not one of them. That 50-point game is an outlier to me. I'm not that interested in chasing that either. Justin Holiday has cooled off significantly with the return of Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine looked very sharp in that Philadelphia game. He just continues to have massive, massive amount of usage, and he's shooting well. I mean, he's going to cool off, and when he doesn't hit, you're going to be in trouble because he shot 8-for-15 in that Philadelphia game. Now, he's going to get to the rim, and he's going to take high percentage shots, and then he's going to take threes. But if he doesn't hit those threes, you know, you're going to see some rough nights from him. And we saw a couple of them, but when he hits hard, and there's a lot of points to be had. So you got to get him right. As far as the front court goes, I like Markkanen here. I got to be honest with you. I like Markkanen here. I think this is an interesting matchup for him against Kuzma and Nance and Randall. I think it's going to be a fun game. I think those guys are going to go at each other, and this is going to be a high-scoring affair. I think you could talk me into maybe a little Denzel Valentine or David Nwaba as well. Just minutes volume and price. Volume of minutes and price. You could, you know, and Nwaba revenge game, right? No, of course, that's a narrative. And by the way, no injuries on the Chicago side except for the Chris Dunn concussion, which hopefully he's going to get better shortly because it's not fun not having him. I would love him in this game, but just not fun not having him here. Philadelphia at San Antonio. San Antonio favored by 3 in this one. You know, San Antonio after a couple back-to-backs, we should see their rotation back to normal against the 76ers at home here in this one. So look for Deontay Murray to take about 30 minutes at the point guard position, you know, and of course, Patty and Tony Parker take, you know, 20 plus from him behind that. Danny Green and Brim Forbes are clearly splitting the two, and the three belongs to Kyle Anderson and a little bit of... I don't know who else they're running out there at the three right now, but it's mostly Kyle Anderson for about 28 to 35 minutes on a nightly basis. LMA is the most consistent asset. Of course, you know, you want to get LMA in plus matchups as much as you can. Do I like the matchup with Philadelphia? Not particularly. I don't mind it. But Embiid is just gigantic and a great rim protector. It could struggle against Embiid. Now on the reverse side, the Philadelphia side, listen, we saw what happened with them in that Memphis game. I script this out very similar to that Memphis game. They're going to struggle. Pace down, high-quality defense that protects the rim. I think they're going to struggle to put up points here in this situation. They struggled against Memphis, and that's not a very good Memphis team. They're going to struggle with San Antonio. So I'm moving away from Philadelphia in this situation. Portland at Dallas, 208 total right now, and it's one book has it as a pick 'em. Only one book has a line. One book has a line out. The rest of Vegas doesn't have a line out. A pick 'em, though, God, that's disrespectful to Portland. My guess is that when you see this, you're going to see that maybe Portland by 1-2 on the road. Dallas, you know, not a particularly bad, you know, but definitely not good. But, you know, not necessarily, I guess, it's hard to say that Portland is playing extremely well. Though they did get a nice win over Minnesota, very important. Of course, we know what the Portland rotation looks like. CJ, Dame are the only guys who are going to get over 30 minutes. Maybe Aminu, depending on the night. But CJ and Dame are definitely going to get over 30 minutes, and then everybody else 25 to 28. Nurk can't find more than 20 minutes these days, guys. He's fine at 24. I think that's going to be his number. And then you're going to see Ed Davis and Zach Collins. And by the way, Ed Davis, when you have a situation where you have an athletic center, Ed Davis is going to play. He's going to play a lot. So let's keep that in mind as we go forward into this one. If anybody, I'm going to the backcourt. I'm going CJ and Dame here. We want to attack these guys on the wing. Wesley Matthews, though, a bit of a better defender than Dennis Smith. So maybe I'll look towards Damian Lillard in this situation. But deep slate, don't know how much I need him in a lower total game on the road. New York at Phoenix. This is the last one of the night. Now, of course, we had the weird late scratch for Tim Hardaway Jr. My guess is somebody reported that he was going to take one night off and then put one night on. Okay, great. If he plays, if him and Zinger are doing a night off, night on thing, that's great. I wish I'd figured out how to get Zinger into my lineup tonight, but you know, what are you going to do? Short slate. You didn't really have a lot of options. But I'll take THJ tomorrow night. Somebody else is going to sit. They seem to be a little bit nicked up. But THJ is going to sit Thursday. Hopefully he'll play. Kylo Quinn continues to be out. We'll see if Zinger plays. If this Knicks team is at full strength, then, you know, obviously we know all the usage goes through Porzingis. Everything flows through Porzingis. And against Phoenix, you could definitely get interested in him, though he has not been very good on the back-to-back this year. So he does take a little bit of a ding on a back-to-back. He will also probably take a little bit of a minutes hit on a back-to-back. He has not played more than 30 minutes in recent back-to-backs. So, is that my favorite situation? Not really. But I'm definitely going to go to the backcourt, feel comfortable going to, you know, a Courtney Lee, depending on how he plays tonight, Tim Hardaway, that kind of thing. So definitely going to look at this side. On the Phoenix side of things, we're going to continue to see lineup changes, quote-unquote, from Jay Triano. TJ Warren is dealing with a knee. He's questionable. So clearly was not full strength in that Indiana game. Played terrible in that Indiana game. Marquese Chris is going to be probable after missing a lot of games and giving us Dragon Bender. Marquese Chris is going to be probable. And Alex Len, questionable going in tomorrow with an ankle. I don't know what Triano means by changing the lineup. If he means that he's going to give us more Greg Monroe, which seems to be one of the things that he's doing, maybe they're trying to move Greg Monroe, just showcase him a little bit. If we get more Greg Monroe, oh, hell yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, he's still cheap. He's pretty productive. He's got fresh legs. I'm into it. You're going to see more minutes for Josh Jackson, would be my guess down the stretch. And I don't know what they're going to do at the point guard position. The Ulis and Kanan thing is just unbelievably tilting. I have no idea. And in my mind, you know what? They should put Booker at the one. Should be Booker at the one. And then Warren and Jackson on the wings. And then Chris and Monroe. That would be an interesting lineup. And I think it's been out there before. It's a lineup combination we've seen, but it's an athletic lineup. It's probably closer to the way they want to play down the stretch, at least with the future. Devin Booker has the potential to kind of be a point forward type. He should be touching the ball as much as possible. Against New York, I like him here too, by the way. I think he's interesting. All right, let's go ahead and move on from Vegas here. That's the injury report. Of course, things change. You know, keep your eye on the news, LineupLogicDFS on Twitter. We will be forwarding all the relevant information from NBA beat writers and NBA outlets that we can find for you guys. Let's go ahead and jump into the player breakdown and figure out who we love on this Friday slate. Who do you love? All right. Hey, Josh, we are here for a Friday slate, 10 games, biggest slate of the week. Should be a good one.
Yeah, man, it's looking good. And I just saw a tweet today. I can't remember who tweeted it, but it was basically just like quick fire of how many games are in each slate from today until the All-Star break, and it every day is like a nice solid slate for the next couple weeks. So let's start it off with a nice 10 gamer on a Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. We get some high totals too, and we've had some, you know, some seriously high totals, you know, this week, a lot of like games over 215, 220, that kind of thing. So definitely gonna want to concentrate our efforts on those. And it starts, with some of the highest priced players, the studs on this slate. You know, the point guard position is interesting because you have two guys in my mind that are really kind of really well priced, aggressively priced. And I love the call that you have here with Damian Lillard, but we're also going to have to talk about Chris Paul at 9,600 in his matchup as well. So start us off though with Dame here, who's got Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you said it, like Chris Paul's got a really nice matchup with New Orleans. New Orleans, everybody knows, gives up fantasy production like it's nobody's business. But I'm really into Dame against Dallas. It's a really juicy matchup. I just got to start by saying that, you know, the last couple weeks I've tried to mention him, just because I love what he's doing over at Fantasy 5x5. But Chris, you know, Chris, if you're listening, I love your website. I've loved it for many years. But, you know, ever since Lineup Logic got our partnership going with Fantasy 5x5, and I got to dig a lot deeper into all the new tools you've been making and for the premium content there, man, it's awesome. So if you're not on Fantasy 5x5, better Joe, get your ass over there. But I'm going to come and get you. But no, seriously. Fantasy 5x5, great stuff. I hopped over there. I imported some stuff over to the Lineup Logic spreadsheet, just kind of playing around with some of my conditional formatting and some of the data that they've got put out over there. Looked at DVP usage and what's called big game ranks. Chris does something with big games. Those are basically top 10 performances allowed by teams to individual players. So like if Russ has a top 10 performance, you know, that means he's scored like, or top 10% performance. That means he's scored, you know, 65, 70 points. That's like a top 10% Russ performance. Or if Ricky Rubio has a top 10% performance, that means he scores what, like 40, I guess, 35, 40.
Well, so it's 26.
Yeah, 26, right. Tony Snell, 6. Sorry, Johnny. But it's all relative to the individual player. So it's a pretty cool way to look at things, and it's very simple. So I made a little spreadsheet. So I'm going to refer to that throughout this pod. But real quick, let's just run through Dame. Amazing spot based on all three metrics, DVP usage and big game ranks. Point guards see a 4.6% bump in usage and a 10.9% increase in fantasy production against the Mavs. And as far as the big games go, Dallas has allowed 9 big games, which is a lot of big games. Again, top 10% performance for that player. Dame's averaging 4th in fantasy points over the last 2 weeks for point guards, 43 fantasy points per game. Given the fact that Dallas gives up 10% more fantasy points to point guards on average, let's give him a 10% bump, and that put him a hair below 50 based on his 2-week average. But, you know, considering the likelihood he's going to hit a top 10% performance, again, the big games, I see him cracking 50 if it stays close and his shots falling. So loving Dame, loving CP3, but I'll take the $200 discount and most likely lower ownership with Mr. Lillard.
Yeah, both of these guys under 10K on both platforms. 9.94 for Dame on FanDuel, 9.1 on DK, which is a pretty tolerable price considering what he's been doing lately, scoring 30 points on the regular. And you mentioned one of the things that Dallas struggles with point guard scoring is the three-pointer. and they are bottom three in the league at allowing, you know, above average. They allow well above average performance to the point guard in the 3-point department, above 24% above average. So not only is it a good position just from a straight up DVP spot, but when you want Damian Lillard, you want Damian Lillard in a situation where he's going to be able to just accrue a lot of raw points. And against Dallas and Dennis Smith, you know, he just has not figured it out. It's almost as good as if Dame was playing Phoenix. Now, Phoenix as a team defense isn't nearly as good, and the pace is way different. So you have that difference, but I agree. I'm interested in Chris Paul at 9,600. I'm interested in as many people as I can get in that game. The total's approaching 230. CP3, he had a rough game against Dallas the other night, but they were blowing him out for a long time, and he really didn't have to do much. He wasn't playing. He only played like 28 minutes. So, you know, can't blame him for that. He's been over a fantasy point per minute, even with James Harden back in the lineup. But James Harden is the focus of my shooting guard that I'm interested in, and I'm having a really hard time. If I can get James Harden and Anthony Davis in my lineup somehow, I'm probably going to try to do it, but I don't quite know how. It's actually very, very complicated. And so Harden right now on the road against New Orleans, you know, listen, you worry about him, you know, we worried about what was going to happen with Chris Paul back. It's been fine. It really has. Like, it took two games to kind of get in line in the last four, and he's been absolutely excellent. The minutes are back, the usage is back, and the fantasy points came with it just the other night against Dallas. You know, just in time, long enough for us to doubt him. He's been really good. And if you look at these four games, you have a couple really high quality defenses, and then you have a mediocre backcourt defense in Dallas. And what does he do? He takes him behind the woodshed. On only 16 attempts, he scores 25 points with 13 assists. And that's really what I liked to see, was the 13 assists from Harden, because the ceiling comes with the peripherals. And if you don't have the peripherals for James Harden in this situation, you're not going to have the ceiling. You need the assists from him. You need the free throws, all that kind of stuff. So a really nice line on 26% usage in 32 minutes for him against Dallas. He's 11-5 on FanDuel, which is a reasonable price. It really is. Like, you know, for a guy who could score 60 points in this matchup, it's a very reasonable price, 11-4 on DK. So, you know, I have to think that this is probably the best potential spot for shooting guard on the slate. He had 67 fantasy points against this team earlier in the year. And, you know, just in general, aside from Phoenix and Chicago, which are really, really good matchups, New Orleans is allowing the fifth most overall production to the shooting guard, 8% above average. And of course, we know that that applies to both point guards and shooting guards. So Chris Paul, James Harden, I want exposure to this backcourt somehow, and I'm going to definitely get it. But I think I may land on Harden unless I can find value at shooting guard.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, a lot of the times it's you kind of get lost in the mix of, you know, what we think really matters, but, you know, you lose sight of the fact that, I mean, what mostly matters is how many points are going to be scored. Right. So I like that you said you really want to, like, hammer home, like, the importance of getting Harden and CP3 into your lineups, because, I mean, like you said, that total's, you know, juicy, and, you know, you don't want to overthink it. So I'm into it. At small forward, we got, you know, a couple interesting situations. One of which is LeBron, who you're going to talk about. Kind of a tough matchup with Indy on paper, but, you know, King James is King James, and I think tough matchups can be ignored sometimes, but I'm going to go with Giannis. He's going against Brooklyn. He's 11-6. So we know that he missed the previous two games due to a sore right knee, but I don't think that's really the concern. Odds are, if he's, you know, active and he's healthy, he's going to get a bunch of minutes. Like, I don't really see him getting limited to 20 minutes. The real question mark is if his if his role is going to change a little bit. It's not impossible for the minutes to change because, you know, Jason right. Kidd's gone. And
right.
You know, even though Jason Kidd had his crazy machinations and weird philosophies on how to use his players, I mean, Giannis didn't really get negatively affected most nights. So I think we're safe. I think we're safe with him coming back. Joe Prunty? Is that how you say it?
Prunty.
Yeah, I don't think this guy, I don't know anything about him, but you have to assume interim coach, he's not going to come in and shake things up too much. Like, don't get too smart, buddy. Like, you got Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, well, just
but get smarter than Jason Kidd.
Right. Oh no, for sure. I mean, they have some amazing. I mean, like Joe Metz, like our buddy over at Fan Cave. I mean, Joe's a big Bucks fan. Works for the Bucks. Yeah. And I mean, I remember talking with him in the offseason, just super pumped about this team, the amount of potential they had, the personnel, and this was even before they got Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah.
And I mean, they have just been beaten to the ground, like misused. The team really needs a spark, and you know, the talent has not changed from earlier this season until now. Like, they're still a talented team. They need to just let them loose and stop messing around with such silly, you know, personnel decisions. But look, back to Giannis off the soapbox. You know, Brooklyn's pretty solid against forwards. But as a team, they've given up 34 big games this season. That's tied with New Orleans for most on the slate. They're one of the most susceptible teams to letting things get out of hand on a individual player basis. Guys can have some pretty massive outings against them. So given Giannis's role, even though they're solid against forwards, he's a high usage, peripheral absorbing stud. I mean, he's not going to have trouble flirting with 60. I don't think he's going to get limited too much in minutes. I think that it's kind of a misguided concern when players are coming off of short layovers that they're going to, you know, get severely limited. He's not coming back from a 2-month hiatus. He's going to come, he's going to ball, he's going to drop 65, and he's going to make everybody regret fading him. But I need you to talk me out of it. I need you to talk me into some LeBron James, unless you got something else to say about the Greek freak.
I love Giannis in this situation, mostly because of pace. And I actually think that this Milwaukee offense is going to take a step forward under Prunty. I really do. I think he's going to loosen the reins a little bit and let these guys play in a little bit more of a modern scheme. Now, you're right to say that they aren't going to change things. Well, here, you want me to tell you why maybe Giannis is why it's a complicated there. The Brooklyn hasn't been a pushover. That's part of the reason why it's a little bit less, you know, we've hammered Brooklyn in general, you know, as a fantasy target for years, but you know, and 3% above average. And part of that is pace, and they're not a phenomenally good defense, but they've been perfectly okay against shooting guards and small forwards and against the power forward. They've really struggled with the highs and the lows. They've struggled with point guards and centers because they really don't have any size. And so, you know, I love the pace of this game. Do I have to have Giannis? Not necessarily. When you have Bron at 10-9 on FanDuel, give me a break. That price is one of the best that we've seen all year. 11-1 on DK. The fact that he's cheaper on FanDuel than DK is a really, 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 really nice indicator of value here. The issue that I have, and I did a little bit of research, why has he been struggling? Well, the starting lineup with IT in it, so this IT, LeBron, Love, and JR. Now they're going to switch Crowder out to the second unit, and they're going to put Tristan Thompson in. That's kind of a one for one as far as offensive usage goes in my mind. But he's only been scoring 0.9 fantasy points per minute. That's a minus point. It's a whole half a fantasy point per minute hit. What does that tell you? they have not figured out how to play together. You have two ball dominant guys in IT and LeBron, and LeBron just has taken a backseat to Isaiah's, you know, 10, 15 shots. And I think it's costing him. I think it's costing him from a fantasy perspective. So if you want to walk away from LeBron in this situation, I could see that. Now, there are some indicators that say to us, you know, okay, wait, Sean, let's not get it twisted. Okay. And I'll be clear about this. He took 23 shots last game against San Antonio. He was relatively inefficient because they have a very good defense, but on the 12th, he took 25 shots against Indiana, put up 60 fantasy points. So he can get it going. It's just that there is a little bit to be concerned with the coming of Isaiah Thomas. You know, it has hurt him. That's not the only unit he's playing with. And in general, in the last five, he's averaging 1.2 fantasy points per minute. But that's compared to 1.4. He was on the season averaging 53 fantasy points per minute. 53 per game and 1.4 per minute. Now he's down to 1.2. So there certainly is a step back with Isaiah in the lineup from the fantasy perspective. He did put up 60 against this team twice. So, I mean, three times, 57 was the first time in the season. Friday night in Cleveland at home, King James. I mean, what, like, close your eyes and throw a dart. He's the player that you hope you land on, right?
I love him. I mean, you said it, like, you know, he's always in a nice spot. I think he's in a really nice spot when people don't really gravitate towards him too much and he catches you off guard.
Right.
And I think this is one of those games where he can kind of catch you off guard. And that is attractive to me. I think that a lot of people like using LeBron this year. He's an easy to roster player this year. Like, there's some safety attached to him, but then people will look at the DVP in this matchup and they'll see, you know, that Indy has given up a really big drop in production to small forwards. You know, if we're looking at big games, only two big games to small forwards. But, you know, LeBron is not just any small forward.
No, he's the point forward. I mean, yeah, there's...
He's like everywhere at once. He plays point guard, wing, forward, and center all at the same time.
Yeah. So definitely, you know, nothing to be concerned about in that situation. No. But yeah, I mean, there's so many studs in the slate, and you go down to power forward, and I'm going to talk through power forward here. Like, honestly, when I saw Houston, New Orleans, the first thing that I thought of was Anthony Davis and Boogie Cousins. Like, I want two of these guys. I want one of the guys from this game. And I do want Anthony Davis or Boogie Cousins in this situation. I have to be honest with you. It's so hard to get away from them. He's 11.5. He's the same price as James Harden. Okay. Same price as James Harden. He's 10.7 on DK. So I think he's pretty tolerable on DK. He's one of the cheapest of the high price players on DraftKings. So I'm leaning towards a little bit of Anthony Davis on DK at 10.7. I think that price is just slightly arousing. but AD, man, I mean, you know, okay, for sure, he took a step back in that Charlotte game. After the OT game in Chicago, he took a step back against Charlotte. Took fewer shots, slower pace game, you know, generally better interior defense in Charlotte. So it makes sense that he only put up 46. You know, the rebounds are what I guess I'm concerned with, is he has been giving up a lot of rebounds to Boogie, which kind of creates his ceiling. Now, he's been phenomenal at scoring in the paint. Specifically, the scoring has been excellent, but he hasn't had too many games with double digit rebounds. Whereas Boogie has not missed double digit rebounds. He missed double digit rebounds once in the new year. And then once again since Christmas. That's it. So he's had two games in the last three weeks to a month where he's not had double-digit rebounds. Whereas AD is just doing it. He's just doing more scoring. So I like Boogie for the peripherals. But I think Anthony Davis in this spot is in a really, really, really good position considering how much scoring happens to bigs against Houston. And listen, if Marvin Williams can go out there and put up 37 fantasy points, I'm going to go – or excuse me, that was against New Orleans, sorry. I'm going to go ahead and think, you know, this Houston matchup is solid inside the paint. We saw them in this game earlier this year. And they won one of these games on the road in Houston. Now they're back home, big game for them. I think that this game stays very close and is really interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I like it. And I think that the pendulum should, you know, I mean, the pendulum always is swinging back and forth between these two, you know, and you know, talking about Brow and Boogie. So, you know, let's just, assume that after that a billion point outing the other night,
97,
it's, I mean, 97 is basically a billion in DFS,
yeah,
maybe even a trillion, but, no, that was,
insane. I watched that game. He like the best thing was that he was actually like locked in and applying himself. Which is a really special thing to watch when Boogie like really is like, okay, I'm just going to take over. Like, I'm not tired. I'm just going to take over. I'm not worried. You know, there's nothing petty going on. I'm not angry at anybody or anything like that. He was phenomenal. It was really a sight to behold. Like he dominates an entire game. There's nothing you can do about it. Every single play is like three or four people hanging off of him. So,
it's just crazy watching him because he's like just watching this monster, like 7 foot tall monster.
Right.
And he's moving like he's 5'10".
Yep.
You know?
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
It really is. So, yeah, that said, that's a good segue into center. I mean, and it's really tough. It really is tough. You know, watch, we have this trio up here. And the two guys that I'm having a tough time deciding between are going to, you know, put up 40 each. And Joel Embiid is going to come and put up a 60 burger or something. Seriously. But, you know, that's how things work out in NBA DFS, right? But but I am having a tough time choosing between Dwight and Boogie. I mean, I guess now that I'm talking through it, it's really not as hard of a choice for me. Because I think that, like you kind of articulated a really good argument for Anthony Davis. So I think that, like I said, the pendulum's going to swing into Davis's favor from Boogie, you know, and Davis could have a really massive game and soak up a lot of that fantasy production. But yeah, you know, the last time I chose someone over Boogie, you know, he went, you know, for 97 points. So whatever. But let's go with Dwight Howard against Atlanta. Against his hometown team, 9,900. I mean, crazy to see that number next to Dwight Howard's name, $9,900 for Dwight Howard. But
yeah,
dude, I mean, he's been balling lately.
Dude, 88 on DK.
That's a good bargain. That's nice. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, he's gone up since New Year's $1,000 on FD. Which is a pretty big rise for a high priced player. And especially for him, you know, I mean, I mean, fantasy production wise, as good as he's been all season, he scored over 40 fantasy points in 7 of his past 8 games. I mean, he's just on a heater. He's averaging 46 fantasy points over the last 2 weeks. That's third among all centers behind Boogie. And Mr. Snub himself, Andre Drummond, who that's another one. I guess you probably were talking about it on the pod yesterday, but like what it was, there was the whole narrative of like,
well, you know, I mean,
having to do, what is it he said he had to do, backflips to get everybody to pay attention to him?
Yeah, I mean, like forget the narrative, man. Like narrative doesn't matter. What is crazy, if you think about this, is that he did this against Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
Like, unbelievable that he put up 20 and 20 against the best, arguably the best center in the game right now, defensively. Unbelievable production from Drummond in that situation. So, you know,
that was unbelievable. I mean,
the Dwight Howard call is just so good. Like, I love this call here at center. I think you're right on. He's 88 on DK, which, like, if you can find a way to get him in on DraftKings, like, he is just a great center spot there.
I mean, you're going to get a double-double from him. I mean, yeah. I say that because, you know, obviously we all know that DK has the double-double bonus. But, I mean, you look at his game logs lately. I know we don't really like to chase game logs or anything, but, I mean, you know, looking at Fantasy Labs, he's exceeded his salary expectation in 9 of his last 10 games, which is insane. And he's gone 51, 51, 45, 49, 53, yeah. 43, you know, then 29 against Utah, but then 44.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's funny. You don't really think, you don't really associate consistency with Dwight Howard. But give credit where credit is due to you know, Steve Clifford and the Hornets for actually making this guy really, really consistent. Like,
yeah, he's been really letting the old man play, you know?
Yeah, he's been really, really consistent this year. So I like it. I think it's a good call. I'm very into trying to find a spot for Dwight. All right, let's jump, though, into the grout section here. Let's talk about some of these mid-price players, 9K and below. Mid-tier guys where it's a little bit thin. Small shooting guard is loaded, but I'm going to start with the point guard that I think probably goes overlooked on this kind of slate, especially in a cash game situation. That's Dennis Schroder. He only played 27 minutes against Toronto, only played 24 against Utah, which we know he can play himself out of the game. But they blew out Utah. He didn't have to play in the fourth, and they got blown out by Toronto. So he had limited minutes. If we expect him to get his normal 32 minutes, then we should expect over a fantasy point per minute. And I think that we can expect some pretty good production from him here against a Charlotte team that, you know, doesn't necessarily allow a ton of production to the point guard position, but a solidly average amount. And he put up 36 earlier this year against Charlotte. He's at home. They're coming off of 2 days of rest. There's just kind of a lot of things that add up that you like. And the final piece for me is really the price. 7,300 for Dennis Schroder at 32 minutes at home. I think that is a solid cash game price. He's the kind of player that if, you know, you're like, gosh, I just don't like these point guards. What am I going to do? How am I going to fit? You know, who do I go to? 7,300, Dennis Schroder. He's not going to break your lineup. I think he has a floor of 30 in this situation. So he's just kind of a nice, solid return, over a fantasy point per minute, over 30 minutes at home, decent total. You know, it's all there.
Yeah, I've never really felt unsafe using Schroder, and you know, you really don't worry much at all about that Kemba Walker defense. So that's a good call, and you don't really worry much about the usage taking a hit ever because he's 25% plus every night. I like it, and I like Eric Bledsoe against Brooklyn. You know, you mentioned it earlier. You know, when we're talking about Giannis, you know, Brooklyn is not the pushover that they've been in the last couple years. I mean, they're playing pretty good ball in some spots, and they're playing really good ball against wings, you know, wings and forwards. But one guy who is not a wing or a forward is Eric Bledsoe. And, you know, you said it, Sean, like they're weak against centers and they're weak against point guards. So, I'm definitely into him. You know, he's not really like a massive game kind of guy. But I feel safe, you know, kind of, I feel similar using him when I use Dennis Schroder. Like, you don't expect 50 points, but you also don't expect 20 points. Like, you feel pretty good about getting your 35 to 45 points. Just safe cash game plays. But they do have that 45 to 55 point outing in their back pocket that they can pull out once in a while. So I think that that is possible in this one. We've got 9 big games allowed by Brooklyn, 5.6% DVP bump. Those are pretty big numbers relative to the point guard situation among all teams. I'm not crazy about him. I think he's safe, like I said. But again, like, there is that higher probability in this one of him having a ceiling game than in most other situations, even with Giannis returning. Even with Giannis returning, I think that it's a solid spot for Mr. Bledsoe.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen him in games where Giannis is out there. I think it's really as long as he gets over 30 minutes, the floor is there. Where he's actually struggled is when he's getting 28, 24 minutes, which I just don't – I don't know why Jason Kidd did that. But anytime you see him over 30 minutes, you're going to see him over 30 fantasy points. So
yeah, and I should have said that too, is Jason Kidd, he's gone. Like, you traded for this, you know, second tier. I'd say he's a second tier stud.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
which is not, I mean, yeah, I mean, every team wants Eric Bledsoe. Like, there's no team that wouldn't want Eric except the Suns. But it's just like, what the hell are you doing? Like, why are you giving this guy, you traded for this guy, like,
you give him, you know, 24
at the 11th hour, like, give them fucking guy more than 24 minutes, for Christ's sake.
I know. No, and I think in this situation, he's going to be capable of taking advantage of extra possessions and pace too. So I like him in a pace up spot.
Yep.
Going to the team where he came from at the shooting guard position, I think if Tim Hardaway Jr. is in tomorrow night, I want to get him in there. He gets a night of rest, an extra night of rest here against Denver. New York currently taking it on the nose. They're going to go down to Phoenix. There is no better matchup for the shooting guard position in the NBA. Just a plus 15% above average bump in DVP there against the shooting guard. And it's even more pronounced when you look at it in fantasy points per minute. It's 22% above the average fantasy point per minute to the shooting guard position. So I'm absolutely in love with Tim Hardaway Jr. in this spot. Listen, he's still a bucket getter. He's still a scorer. The usage is there. We've seen it above 30% at least once. It was against the Jazz earlier this week. He put up, you know, a ton of shots, 17 attempts. He put up 31 points. He's got that game in his back pocket. And I don't see why it couldn't be against the Suns. He put up 30 against the Suns across 32 minutes earlier this year in the Garden. So there's definitely an argument to be made for Timothy Hardaway Jr. Now, on the opposite side of the ball, you could definitely argue for a little bit of Devin Booker as well. 8,400 on DK and similarly priced on FanDuel. I mean, the man has a 35% usage rate in a couple of his last games. So, I mean, it's just the ceiling is unbelievable for this kid every single time he takes the floor. And you see it in that Portland game. And Portland is one of the best backcourt defenses in the league. You know, for 41 minutes, he put up 67 fantasy points. And TJ Warren, questionable with a foot. So if TJ Warren is out, I feel like he is a must-have. He's averaged 1.2 fantasy points per minute in the last five games, 41 points in that span. In that New York game, I'm trying to find that line, he put up 40. He put up 40 in 33 minutes. So I could run this back with both of these guys. Tim Hardaway Jr. and Devin Booker just go out there and score against each other. The one guy I will also mention, and I don't want to mention, I did say this is kind of a deep range. The one guy I will mention is also Jordan Clarkson. He's been playing really well, and this is a great matchup for him as well. Chicago, almost the same as Orlando as far as the production that they gave up to shooting guards, so that's a good equivalency metric for everybody. Oh, Orlando, yeah, I love playing guys against Orlando. Yeah, of course you do, because Orlando's fucking terrible. 14... 14%, or excuse me, 13% above average fantasy production to the shooting guard. We've seen some big, really nice games from them. And, you know, listen, they allow everything. They allow the rebounds. They allow the steals. They allow the assists. It's all there. You want to attack Chicago with everything that you got. I mean, I'm looking at the DVP dashboard right now at Fantasy 5x5. They 27% above average in assists to the shooting guard, 18% above average in rebounds to the shooting guard. And guys, it all just adds up to fantasy points. It's the second best matchup on the board. So Jordan Clarkson with Lonzo out, he's been phenomenal. 33 minutes at least in both of the last, all of the last three games. I could get into him as well.
Hell yeah, man. Jordan Clarkson has been impressive lately. I mean, he's getting minutes. You know, Luke Walton is, you know, like, I guess he's got a little bit of that, you know, make everyone happy hippie mojo from his dad. You know, just distributing minutes like it's rec league basketball or something.
Seriously.
You know, but the last three games, I guess it is. I mean,
I'm Bill Walton, and I think everybody on this team is phenomenal.
Everybody deserves 25 minutes minimum.
Minimum. And you guys are great, and I love your heart.
Fantastic. And marijuana is legal now in California, so I'm just going to be more wacky than I've ever been. And my son is going to be just like his dear old dad.
What a game. Basketball.
The ball goes in the hoop and the fans cheer. That's what happens in the game of basketball.
Oh, the Bill Walton impressions should never end.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, I can definitely live with that. I could do a Bill Walton all day. He's just a gem. But yeah, no, Jordan Clarkson, dude. I mean, just what the fuck, dude? He's been killing it. Is Lonzo going to be back tomorrow?
No, he's not. He's been ruled out.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. Yeah, so Clarkson, I mean, like, I don't think this trend is just – I mean, watch, we're going to use him, and it's going to just end right on us, and we're going to get fucking burned. But let's just assume that it doesn't end, okay? The guy's salary, I mean, you want to talk about a skyrocketing salary with Dwight Howard. I mean, this guy has gone from 4,200 to 4,800 to 7K to 7,500 in, like, less than a week. So, yeah, like, you're paying top dollar for Jordan Clarkson, but the guy's getting 33, 37, 34 minutes. I mean, monstrous usage, tons of real life points, all kinds of peripheral stats. I love it, dude. I mean, Clarkson is a stud, at least the last, you know, week. So let's ride the hot hand. If you want to pivot, though, and you want to save some moolah, he can now leave the state of California. And that is our man, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, Josh, the era of Josh Hart, at least for the time being, is over. God bless Josh Hart.
The Josh Hart era.
Yes, the Villanova stud is back on ice. But KCP, you know, he's going to get his minutes. He's 5,100. You said it, you know, throughout the pod, is Chicago is a really soft opponent. They give up a ton of fantasy production to everybody. Should be a close game. And, you know, we just have to assume that KCP is going to be able to accumulate in a variety of areas, you know, and just looking at DVP production, I mean, a 12.7% boost to shooting guards given up by the Bulls. Nine big games this year. So, you know, he's in a really good spot. It's just, it's hard to say, though, if he's going to get much opportunity to, you know, score real life points, you know, just seeing what Jordan Clarkson's been doing lately. You know, he's gobbling up everything. So, you know, if you want to pivot a bit from Clarkson, who I love in this situation, you know, you could save yourself $2,400 and go down to KCP, but don't assume just because you're dropping $2,400, you're getting this great discount, because if Clarkson goes out and drops 45, 50 points at 7,500, you know, you're going to regret it when you get 25 points from KCP.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Speaking of 25 points, that's about the range for every single small forward that I'm interested in here. So let's talk through the small forward position. TJ Warren, possibly injured. You got the studs up there. Fine. Okay, you got TJ Warren. I'm not that interested in Kyle Anderson and Robert Covington. I think I'm going to just slide down below this 5-5 mark, and I'm going to take a look at these Trevor Ariza, Torian Prince, and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. I think that's kind of my pool. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, these guys all kind of blend in. None really pop out to you. So it's just kind of like what we said earlier on is, you know, when all else fails, I mean, go for the juiciest game situation. And the nature of that Houston-New Orleans game, I think, is one in which you need to really keep your eye on. Ariza, like, he could just benefit from existing in that game.
Right. You know?
Just from a over-under, you know, fantasy goodness, trickle-down effect. He's in a really nice spot. So I don't know if you had anything to add to that. But I think that he's, you know, a very attractive player in this situation.
Well, he's the, you know, okay, so you have a great matchup against the three. We've been attacking small forwards against New Orleans all year long, continue to do that. They, allow well above average production to the two. And it spills over to the three too. I mean, it's that, you know, on the numbers, it's going to tell you that they don't necessarily allow that much fantasy production. But it can often spill over to the three from a DVP's perspective. They're just not a very good defense. You're going to get a lot of production from everything. So Ariza in this situation is going to have the green light to shoot all the threes that he wants. And that's what you really like. Floor of 20 for all of these guys. And Torian Prince and MKG are going up against each other. And, you know, it's just like the Spider-Man pointing meme here as far as, you know, small forward production. Atlanta's dead last in fantasy points per minute allowed to the small forward. And, you know, Charlotte has allowed, like, I think the most big games to the small forward position right on the slate if you're looking at that big game number. So It either one of those guys works. The nice thing is you know you're going to get 30 minutes, and you know you hope for a floor of 20 points. Who would you pick if you had to pick one of those guys?
Even though he doesn't get as much minutes as the guys around him, I really like MKG. I remember earlier this season. He had a pretty awesome outing against Atlanta. This is a while back, but I think that was the night when Dwayne Dedmon went nuts and had like 50-something against them. In that same game on the other side, MKG went nutso as well. Atlanta's a really soft target for wings, and he can put up in, you know, short spurts some crazy production. You know, especially if he scores you 10, 15 points, real life points. So I like MKG, but I think that the safest bet, you know, if you were to simulate this 1,000 times, Trevor Ariza would probably wind up with the highest percentage of like top performances.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think he just probably has the most consistent floor.
Yeah.
I could talk myself into the guys in the Chicago LA game. I think those will be that'll be a source of like mid-tier value that I'm interested in. Speaking of those guys, let's go on to power forward here. I love Kyle Kuzma. 5600 for Kyle Kuzma. He has been great in his last couple games, you know, last game specifically against Boston, he had an excellent outing. 28 real points with 4 rebounds and 3 assists. We have no Lonzo back out there again, so he gets that nice little usage bump. And I think that you could absolutely see, a nice game for Kyle Kuzma here against the Chicago front court that continues to allow, you know, well above average production. to all the positions, but certainly to, you know, two wings and power forwards, two percent above average to the power forward. He's going to be matched up with Lauri Markkanen. There's a comfort level there, you know, kind of the rookie versus rookie thing. I always like that. I think it's fun. So I like Kuz. I like 5,600 for the price tag. I think you're getting a nice discount. If he gets 30 minutes in this situation, you're going to get a nice return from him in what should be a competitive high scoring game.
Yeah, for sure. Liking Kuz as well. Also liking dropping down to Larry Nance, but I think that this is a better spot for Kuz just to kind of let him, you know, go off and get right for the young guy. It's really tough to like feel 100% confident nailing someone down in this, you know, Sabonis down to say Al-Farouq Aminu range here. There's just so many guys, but you know, one just from a purely from a DVP perspective that stands out to me is Thaddeus Young. You know, he's going to be going against Cleveland. And Cleveland, you know, gives a 12.2% boost to power forwards in DVP production, 6.5% boost in usage. And we've gotten reports that the black sheep of the team, Kevin Young, Thaddeus Young, is facing against Kevin Love. Kevin Love, black sheep of the team. The guy is just one of the worst defenders in the NBA. And I think it's a fact he's going to be, you know, lining up now at power forward with them starting Tristan Thompson at the five. Yes.
Yeah. They're going to put Tristan Thompson down at the five. That's right.
Yeah. So you got to like Thad going against him. Thad is kind of, you know, trending back up again lately with some pretty solid outings. Lately, he came out last time against Phoenix and put up 34, a really impressive 40-point outing in 38 minutes against San Antonio back on the 21st, and a couple of solid outings against Portland and Utah, who are no teams to sneeze at. A really disappointing one, 15 points against LA. Really couldn't get anything going in that one. But, I mean, Cleveland is just really, really bad defensively. They give up massive production to these power forwards and forwards in general. I think among forwards, you know, him, Boyan, and I guess you could throw Lance Stephenson in there. I think that for my money, I think he's got the best chance to get the most minutes and get the most fantasy production. So I'm going to lean with him, even though, you know, from a big game and DVP point of view, like, it's really hard to ignore the situation that Lance and Boyan are facing. I still lean towards Mr. Young. So I'm liking Thad in this one.
Yeah, I think that's smart. I like that call. All right, moving on to the center. I got two names for you and two guys that I really always like just kind of have a soft spot for. Clint Capella, man. Your instincts would tell you that playing bigs against New Orleans is not a good idea, but it really is a good idea. Above 5% plus bump in production to the power forward and 4% bump to the center. They allow above average scoring inside the paint. Capella right now, one of the most efficient scorers and fantasy producers in the league. In the last five, he's averaged 1.1 fantasy points per minute, 33 FanDuel points in that span, and just 28 minutes. You know, the guy is phenomenal. And in 28 minutes of work against New Orleans earlier this year, 23 minutes, excuse me, he went and put up 51 fantasy points. He did 28 and 14 in that game. Now, I believe Anthony Davis sat that game out, but definitely an impressive line to see from this fella. You like the centers against New Orleans. We just saw Dwight go off against them. You've seen centers be productive against them as well. So if you're thinking, you know, this is a good way to be different, it is. It's a good way to be different. You play centers against New Orleans, even though they have good centers. They just have good centers that don't play good defense. So Capella is one. The other one is Enos Kanter. And if Kanter, it depends on kind of how the minutes shake out for him in this Nuggets game. But, you know, Kanter is a guy who has double-double potential every single night, even though he only gets 25 to 29 minutes on a regular basis. And if given a good matchup, you know, like this one in Phoenix, I think he could be really productive. He had 40 in 32 minutes last time in the Garden against Phoenix, and that was on the line of exactly what we would expect, 15 and 16. That's kind of what you want from Enes Kanter. So I like it. I think it's a good – I think it works. You know, any other thoughts at center there?
Yeah, I like those two guys. I mean, he's not a center, but he's going to play center. You know, I'm into Sabonis. I think that Nurkic could have a nice rebound game. He got hurt in that game yesterday and lost some minutes. Had to come out for a little while, but he could fare pretty well against Dallas, I think. Only put up 17 points against them last time out, but has had some pretty amazing performances bookending that against Indy and Denver, you know, two very susceptible teams, to say the least, against centers. But I'm, you know, I guess I could see using Nurkic. But yeah, I like your guys a lot more, to be honest. So, you know, I think that's all we really got to say about that tier of players and centers.
There's definitely a couple positions on this slate where you just have to spend up. And yeah, I think that center might end up being one of them.
Yeah. I mean, I think most of the time you got to pay up at center. You know, you really can't mess around. You know, it's hard to find these centers nowadays that are going to get you over 30 minutes and get you a lot of usage for cheap. You know, once in a while they emerge, but, you know, I think, you know, 60% of the time, you know, you just don't want to mess around. Just pay up at your center, right, and look for value elsewhere.
Right. No, definitely. Definitely. All right. Let's go ahead and talk through some value here. Speaking of anything below 5.5, Josh, we're going to talk about it. Anything below 5.5. And we use FanDuel pricing for that. Starting at the point guard position, I'm looking at Darren Collison. You know, great matchup with Cleveland. You want to get that extra, you know, Cleveland, you want to attack Cleveland. Like, you're going to have some Indiana in your lineup. Like, they're just, they're terrible at defense. And Collison should be in a decent spot to return value on what is a very reasonable 5-4 price tag. I think you could also look at Jarrett Jack. He's got a decent game going right now against Denver. He could have another nice one against Phoenix. He's been playing about 29 minutes at the point guard position for them. So those are two guys I think that I'm going to start thinking about if I need a value point guard. I could play both of them on this slate, to be honest with you. I have no problem with that. I think they could both return value, so long as we think Jarrett Jack is going to get the minutes on the back-to-back, which I think he should. I don't really see anybody else there that would take those minutes from him. Deontay Murray's price has kind of gotten to an appropriate level. Philadelphia matchup, not my favorite, I guess. That's about it. That's about it at the point guard position.
Yeah, right on. I like it. I at shooting guard, I'm into Wes Matthews going against his old team in the Portland Trailblazers. You know, one of the things with Wes is that when he is slated to have a tough individual matchup, he tends to step up to the occasion. And he's got a tough individual matchup. He's going to be covering CJ McCollum most likely, and you know, they're going to give him all the minutes he can handle to contain CJ, who is a massive usage player on that team. At 5,600, you know, he's seeing his salary rise a little bit, but I think it's warranted. I don't think that the salary rise is, you know, much of a concern. You know, I know a lot of people were used to him in the, you know, 4,800 to 5K range, but, you know, he's at 5,600. It's the most expensive he's been in, I mean, I almost want to say all season, but I mean, you know, 40 plus point outing, 48 points to be exact against Houston last time out. And then just a bunch of solid 20 to 30 point outings, you know, just all throughout the last couple weeks. So I just think that, you know, it's a good bet for him to just be a solid play at 5,600. just don't expect that 48 pointer. But 30 points, you know, I could see it. But you know, below him, I mean, even above him with Justin Holiday and Malcolm Brogdon, I mean, you just got so many guys that are just mashed in here at this, you know, 5,800 to 4,800 range. So it's really hard to like nail one down. It's kind of like the 6K range power forwards. This 5K range of shooting guards is, you know, there's a diamond in the rough laying there. So, you know, Zach LaVine could get turned loose against LA. Kent Bazemore has a tendency to pop every once in a while. You know, you mentioned KCP earlier. Danny Green is in a really nice DVP situation. But Danny Green is Danny Green. So, you know, it's going to be tough to nail someone down, but I'm into Wes.
Yeah, I think that's fair. We already talked a little bit about small forward, you know, those guys at that 5'2", 5'3 range. I think that that's about right. The only other guy in the 4K range, I mean, I guess I could get into a little bit of Etuan Moore. He's been pretty consistent. He's 4'8". But I was going to talk about Dylan Brooks. He is likely going to be in the starting unit again for 30-plus minutes against, you know, a Clippers team that struggles with wings. And I think that Brooks here in this situation could definitely return some positive value if he gets going. So Brooks is a guy that I'm interested in at 4'3". I think he certainly could go overlooked. We kind of, you know, were hot on him for a while and then forgot about the fact that, you know, he's still playing 30 minutes because James Ennis isn't out there. So I like him in that spot. Power forward, Josh, what do you see?
Power forward, you know, starting off with John Henson against Brooklyn. Really great matchup. If he's going to be playing a lot of his time at the five, I mean, forget about it. Like, that is the GOAT matchup for centers going against Brooklyn. 10 big games this year, which is, you know, if you paid any attention to our lineup logic cheat sheets or spreadsheets, you know, we have the color-coded tiers, and that's pink tier, baby. That's elite. That's 2.5 standard deviations above the average, which is statistically significant. And 10 big games against centers are
statistically significant.
That's my band name, man. 14% bump in DVP, 14% bump in usage. So I could see Johnny Henson having a massive outing. And I could see Ryan Anderson having a nice outing. Going against his old team in the New Orleans Pelicans.
And he's on the road, which is you play him on the road.
Yeah, Rhino.
You
don't play Road Rhino. He's a Road
Rhino.
Yeah. 4.5% DVP bump, 5 big games, 34 big games total against all positions. And Rhino can get hot, and you know, CP3 and Jimmy have no problem dishing it off to him on the perimeter. So you know, he's in an interesting spot. He's always cheap. So I like those guys.
Yeah. Nice. There's a lot to like there. All right. At the center position, listen, if we know that Greg Monroe is going to be playing, if Alex Len is out, Tyson Chandler seems to be moving towards the bench. Monroe has gotten 30 minutes in back-to-back games. Now the Indiana matchup was phenomenal, right? That's just like top-notch, crazy good matchup for rebounding and scoring. And that game was like a scrimmage after the first half. He's 4,700, though, at 30 minutes against New York, who we initially were kind of like, you know, Nork's not a great front court matchup. Well, it's trending in the right direction, you know, recently. And they're on the back-to-back. So there's a lot of things that kind of point to this is not a bad matchup, you know, going up against the Knicks. They're up now above, you know, nearly 2% above average to the power forward and the center in production there. So they're a decent rebounding team, but they allow scoring in the paint. So I could see us getting into some Greg Monroe as a nice punt play. The brothers Lopez will be facing off at against each other in Chicago. Robin has been getting more minutes than Brooke, though. And I think that that's where I would put myself. 25 minutes for Robin Lopez in his most recent game. He's been about a fantasy point per minute. So I think you know, that's kind of what you do. That's what you do with that. I don't know. I don't think I'll go to either of those guys because I like some of these more expensive ones. Josh, it's time to build a lineup. Would you like first pick?
Sure. I'll take first pick.
All right, brother. Take first pick.
Well, we got to pay up at center. I'm not going to fuck around here. Let's go with Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard versus the Hawks. All right. We're going to go cheap. I think we go double cheap at small forward. Let's try this because there's a lot of cheap down here. I'm going to go Dylan Brooks. I'm going to take two picks. Okay. Since you got first pick. Snake, okay. Style, snake draft. Two-man snake draft. Cool. Okay. It's only fair.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks and Trevor Ariza.
I like it.
Although I do like Lance. What did Lance do against Cleveland last? Yeah, no, fuck that. We're going with Lance. Lance Narrative Street. Cleveland's so bad. So bad.
They're so bad. It's just
they don't play any defense, and Lance Stephenson is a beast. So there we go.
I like it. All right. How about okay, so I get two picks. How about Dame?
Ooh, intimate.
And I'm going to go with John Henson. I had this feeling about John Henson. I think that he's going to go nuts.
Johnny Henson.
Johnny Henson.
John Henson.
Such a basic name.
It is such a basic it's name. Just plain such a American quality name. Plain American man.
John Henson. Hi. John Henson.
John Henson. Lumber. John Henson for Congress.
John Henson everything. Breakfast sandwiches.
Yeah, everything. Anything. All right, then fine. Let's go with his cost mate, Kuz Monster, the Kuz man.
Kuzi.
Dude, how did John Collins have fucking 43 against the Raptors? Like, where
that
did he...
mind-blowing, because I was like... I mean, if anyone, you expect it's going to be Ersan,
right?
I mean, which I did personally.
Right. Ersan.
Oh, yeah. The Kuzman. Okay. Let's see here. I feel like Darren Collison's a really nice value.
Darren Collison is a really nice value, and I like that call a lot. Oh, please tell me we have a lot of money at the shooting guard position. 74. That's not bad.
I mean, we could definitely get your boy Devin Booker in there.
I know. I want to do Devin Booker. I think we do Devin Booker. Oh, wow.
There's a lot of
money. The problem with this is, like,
over, though.
Are we really going to walk away? Like, we have no – we have – the 9K stud approach is always something I like. If you go Harden, you could go with a min price guy here in this situation.
Then we'd have a fuck ton of money left over. Right?
Dame
Collison. We have Booker. We have Lance and Ariza. Wait, Lance and who?
Lance, John Henson, Kyle Kuzma, Dwight. No. Sorry. We can't go to Harden here.
So we need a shooting guard and a small forward.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm messing around with some stuff right now.
5,600.
Wait, hold on. Here's the super balanced version of what we just saw. Okay. Damian Lillard, Darren Collison, Devin Booker, and then maybe THJ, running back THJ, Dylan Brooks, Lance Stephenson, John Henson, Kyle Kuzma, Dwight Howard. Now, you could upgrade Dame to Chris Paul, and that would be a nice little upgrade there. I love our shooting guards. My issue is that do you need on this slate, you have Harden, Giannis, Braun, Davis, Boogie, and we don't have any of them? Like, you got to have one of these clowns, right?
Okay, so then we would have to go double
bargain at shooting guard. Well, I wouldn't say Hardaway is a bargain, but I think we'd have to get away.
Oh man.
We could pay down more at both point guard positions. I could see Collison and maybe going down to like Bledsoe or Schroeder.
Yeah. Schroeder.
Go down to Schroeder and Collison instead. Hardaway and perhaps, you know.
All right. You build one out. I got one brewing right now. I am building one out right now.
Okay. I got something right here. Get rid of Kyle Kuzma, carry the four. Anthony Davis, carry the six.
I don't think you have to carry so much stuff, dude.
Trust me, you have to carry.
You gotta carry. If you don't carry,
you're not invited to the party. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, brother. God, Eric Gordon at 4,800 is so annoying. Because you just see that and you're like, what? Fucking Eric Gordon? 4,800? That's such a good price.
Yeah.
But then you don't know. I mean, he's putting up 20 fantasy points.
You could just go full punt mode.
Although he's going to be playing against the fucking Pelicans bench.
Yeah.
Give me that shit.
So what do you got?
I got, I don't know. It's a work in progress. But here's what I got. Every time I start rebuilding my lineups, by the way, I end up with like complete stars and scrubs. And I'm like, I don't know, you know, I mean, Frank Kaminsky allows me to get four 11K guys in there. I have Dame, Darren Collison, Devin Booker, Eric Gordon, Dylan Brooks, Lance Stephenson, Anthony Davis. And then I needed a 4K power forward and I just don't have one. Clint Capella, but I guess I could go down at center here to a,
I mean, Ryan Anderson's 4K, 4,200.
Yeah, I need it even cheaper than that.
Is what's his face going to play? Marquise Chris. Because if he doesn't, I mean, Dragon is in a...
No, yeah, he is going to play. Chris is probable.
Yeah.
All right. But no, this is interesting. You can fool with it. Like, you play with it. What do you have?
I don't know. I fucking just mutilated this thing. But I got Schroeder and Collison. And then I kind of like Thad and Henson at power forward. And Dwight at center. I'm into Dylan Brooks and Tim Hardaway. So I feel like, but I don't know if I really want to pay up too heavily at shooting guard or small forward. Like if I'm paying up, I really want to pay up at my bigs. So now I'm kind of thinking I should pay up for Thad. But here's what I got. It is, let me put my...
I just found something, by the way.
Oh, okay. Let me hear it.
You want to go?
No, you go. You wanna... Fuck my lineup. I want to hear yours.
Fuck your lineup, bro.
Fuck my couch.
Fuck you. Dennis Schroeder, Darren Collison, Tim Hardaway, Eric Gordon, Dylan Brooks, Lance, Kuz, Anthony Davis, Dwight Howard.
Oh, shit. I like it.
Oh, shit.
I like it, man.
Yeah.
Someone run it.
Run it. Oh, and by the way, if you go down off of Dwight to Clint, you can make Schroeder becomes Damian Lillard.
Ooh. I think I like that even more. Because people are going to use Dwight, but they're not going to use Capella.
No.
They're going to forget about Clint, but this is his kind of matchup.
Forget about Clint, like forgot about Dre.
I was just going to say that. Great minds think alike.
With that, let's get out of here.
Yes.
Good night, America. We know you've been listening, and we appreciate your patronage.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Good luck. Take care. We'll see you
on the flip side.